I want to do something technical right now and find out what the relationship is between the microphone on my belt and this one here. I'm going to move in close to see if it makes any difference. But if I really want to talk up, I don't have to be close to there. Now I will guarantee you one thing. Considering what's been on my mind for quite some time, you will never have seen anything like you're going to see, nor heard anything like what you're going to hear. Now, does that make you nervous? I wish to begin our consideration with the reading of chapter 6 of the epistle of the Apostle Paul to a specific group of people called Hebrews. And we will probably read the entire 6th chapter. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrines of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. This will we do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened to have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. I've got to find my place here. Verse 6. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify themselves to the Son of God afresh. Crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end it is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though thus we speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who, through faith and patience, inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath or confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Now you may well wonder, where is he going to go with that? You would be surprised. I wish to explain some of the secrets of this little book, which some of you people have seen me carrying around, and during which, on most meetings, I've got my head down writing very rapidly. Well, I wish to reach in this pocket and draw out a 44 Magnum. It says 44 Magnum right there on it. Can you see that? I've got two of them. One of them is red, one of them is black. And in case I need them, I've got some little ones. Now, what am I going to do with those? I'm going to mess up some paper. And since I've not really practiced an awful lot with this device, I want to see first if I can make a mark that's distinguishable to the people farther back. Can you see that back there? What is that? What does it stand for? Anybody? And. The printers call that symbol an ampersand. They all also have one like that, that means the same thing. It's almost very close to this one. Is that visible? Okay. How about that one? Anybody? Oh, come on. Minus. Okay, especially when you see those two close together, the implication is pretty strong. How about that one? Times. Okay. How about that one? Divide. Okay. R? Pie. My favorite. But I'll never eat gooseberry pie again. I wound up in the hospital only hours after that. Now, $1,000, okay? And cents. Only the engineers can tell me what that one is. It's diameter. This is the stroke that cuts a circle in two. Like I say, you see that mostly in engineering. However, let's go another one. Center line. And in an equation, what does a symbol like that mean? Greater than. And conversely, less than. If anybody wants that piece of paper afterwards, ask me. Now, let's try another one. Can you see it over there? Don't I need to turn the... Okay. What does that stand for? Hey. What other mathematician uses a symbol like that? Anybody? That's the indication that you've got a number something. Okay. This is kind of, I'll just work this one in. Have you ever seen that before? Okay. Now, what we have been talking about are symbols. And we're going to explore the area in which a symbol in a statement can be made to express something in a very small space. Now, anybody?
Ounces.
Okay. I am going to write another number, or another symbol. Exactly. Revolutions per minute. And those who use the term don't have to spell it out. Of course, I was only 47 years in engineering, so I'm kind of biased. I'm going to write a number. What does that express when it's written that way? 8 degrees. How many symbols in English would it take to write that much? And could you grasp it more quickly as a symbol than you could to write it out? Now you wonder, considering what I read, where is he going with this? I can hear it in your minds. You think I can't read minds? What relationship has this got with anything? I tell you, you'll find out. Anybody? Did I hear anybody say moon? Okay. It's a star. Okay. Now, well, you never should put the tail on it unless you fill it in here. But that spells something about music. And let's try one more. Yeah, okay. Now, I don't know if this is right, but when I played tuba for 9 years, it was always had the bass cleft on it. Incidentally, this is a sidelight. I played tuba for 9 years in the public school and also in the municipal band. I presently can sing down there where the tubas play. But that's not my point. These are symbols. Now I'll tell you about this little book. With my head down, it looks like I'm sleeping when they're speaking. You can't read this from there. But I don't have every word of the sermon or the event, but you can pretty well reconstruct it. I do this habitually. Is this better, Nicholas? Okay, I'll talk up. Talk to this side where the mic is, right here. Now, I have worked out a bunch of symbols that I use. That's for the opening prayer. I don't have to write it out. And I can put some initials in there. Let's put somebody's name down there for the opening prayer. Who's that? There's the letter L and the letter E, and that's Leroy. Did you fancy Leroy? You'd ever look like that? Okay. His brother. This is Richard Wheaton. On my record. Now another surprise. Excuse me. Exactly. Did you ever fancy that you'd look like that, Roger? Okay. Okay. And there are some for which I haven't worked on anything real good. Here's one I've been using. Who's that? Yep, that was Mark Hill. Mal Harris. Okay. Now, what's that got to do with what I read? Boy, that leaks through. Let's start with the New Testament. What's the book, first book of the New Testament? Matthew. Mark. Luke. See how easy it is? Now, one of my sneaky purposes is to encourage you people to get you a row of pens about like that and take notes. You'll keep more of the sermon in your head and in your pocket. And for me, a notebook just this size is just great. One of the advantages came recently. When Mark Hill asked me about his call to the ministry. I looked in my little book and went to an earlier book and found the record. Of his call. It was dated. And I had the gist of the wordage. And I can still remember it was January the 3rd. And this fellow here was the fellow who gave the call. I haven't figured out a good symbol for him, but what book of the Bible is this? Now here's another one. What book of the Old Testament is that? Isaiah. You'll never forget it. Now, we all recognize that as a question mark. Now let's start just about the same. What's that? That's a shepherd's crook. Who's that? Okay. Same party. If you're worried about me running out of paper, I've got another pad of 40 sheets laying over there. But in my notes, a letter with a stroke behind it means it's a symbol. That's God. It is sometimes spoken of God the Father. Now, are any of you suspicious-minded people aware of where I'm heading? God the Son. Sometimes it's only this. Now, who's that? No mistake. You got it right off. The thing that impressed me was something that Brother Al Harris used in the Sunday school. And I don't remember what the symbols are that are supposed to be in there, but that is something that's borrowed out of science in discussing the characteristics of electricity, the relationships of amperage and voltage, and what was the other factor, Al?
Resistance.
Resistance. We can typify a lot of our thinking about religious matters if we simplify the terms in which the equation is expressed. It keeps you from getting lost in language when there's a principle involved. Now, what I'm shooting at. I read it to you. Many of us know it as the six principles of the gospel of Christ. My father was very serious about us kids learning the first one. My symbol for that is this: faith. These are the blocks on which our whole belief stands. Here's my symbol for that. Come near being Roger Bruner. Repentance. These simple. Can you people see that in the back row? Al can see it, so anybody can see it. Baptism. Now I'll let you guess. I don't have a real good one for this. Resurrection. Eternal judgment. Or we could write another way. And that's what we were talking about. You do not have any other options. Now I want to talk just a little bit about our situation. We've got people with all kinds of characteristics and histories, and physiology, and mental capabilities. Among our people, we find the natural soldiers, and then second cousin to that are the crusaders. Some don't seem to care too much what they crusade about. They just want to be in the business. You run into them in the political game, especially. I've got a sister-in-law that's one of the beatenest crusaders that you ever ran into, and she does it from her bed. She's only about 4'6" and weighs about 90 pounds. Ted Kennedy wanted her on his staff. She's in bed in Phoenix, Arizona, and he didn't know it. But she's a crusader. There are the typical debaters. They love to get into any kind of a chewing match, as it were, because it's fun. There are the lawyers who like to write everybody down for violations of the law. It's a sport. They do it naturally. There are people who like to fix things. And there are the natural predators who want to jump somebody's case on any occasion. They're built that way. There are the trappers and the schemers and the wreckers and the builders and the promoters. And there are people who like to run around with a chip on their shoulder waiting for somebody to knock it off. And there are the complainers. Let me tell you about some complainers. There were several old men playing golf. And to one, the course wasn't mowed right. And to another, the particular lay of the land was wrong. And to another, well, it wasn't green enough, or it was too green, or the grass was too long. And finally, this one old guy didn't say anything at all. They ask him, well, what do you think's the matter with the course? He says, I'm just glad that we're on this side of the grass. Now, and there are people who know everything. And no matter what you say, they'll tell you you're wrong. even if you're against the IRS. Now, the bosses and the fuddy-duddies and the people who don't want to show their head outside their house, we have all those characteristics in combination among us different ones. And what is it I'm shooting at? You can always fix it. And the point is that you should. And the next point is that you can and have the privilege of changing yourself from what you are into what Christ wants you to be. A lot of people think of it as a duty, think of it as a privilege. Think of it as if you owed a lot of money on a mortgage. And the person who held the mortgage says, just come in and give me the proper signals. And the mortgage is voided. Would you do it? That is the same as with the burden of poor judgments, sins, personal preferences. There are people that, like in my case, if I were able to do it, I would never eat an oyster. And I know a party who said that he would eat an oyster every time he got a chance. Could he live without oysters? Could I get one down if it made all that much difference? I'll never eat gooseberry pie again. I wound up in the hospital. It probably wasn't the pie, but I like to say it that way. My wife ate gooseberry pie and it didn't bother her at all. But it cost somebody about $5,000 after the two ambulances and a fire truck came. And they took me, and then they checked me all out. You know what they found? That I am abysmally normal. They couldn't find anything except maybe my looks. Well, what good did that do? Well, at least we know the base that I'm working from. There's no question. There was some doubt as to whether it was my heart or just what. You know what those guys did? You try waking up sometime and looking into the eyes of a strange man in your own bedroom, like it happened to me. He had already taken my Christmas sweater and the shirt underneath and slid it from here clear up here to put his blood pressure unit on. Perfectly normal. I walked to the... They sent two... Did you ever have two ambulances sent for one fella? Two ambulances and a fire truck and all these guys, and I still walked out to one of the ambulances. Nothing the matter. I think God set me up so that I'd know whether I was in good shape or not. But if there hadn't have been, I'd have been in a position of trying to change my circumstance. And with regard to God's view of you, you've got a chance to change it. An excellent opportunity. The promises He made, if you'll go His way, are just fabulous. And that's what I was leading up to. There's my 44 Magnum. I did it with my little 44 Magnum. Thank you very kindly.
Thank you, Forrest. But you remember the activities. Be sure and take your bulletin home with you. That's a good reminder of them. And let's close our service with the use of hymn number 208. Number 208, after which we'll be led in a closing prayer by our brother Alvin Harris. Number 208. Righteous Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege we have to come here this day to meet in thy house, to hear the principles from thy holy word, to remember these things or be put in remembrance that we can carry them through our lives, that we can share them with others, that we can take advantage of that choice. And, O Lord, we thank you for thy gospel and thy Son, Jesus Christ. We also thank you for this beautiful day you've given us, and we ask that as we go about our duties and whatever we might have planned for the remainder of it, that we can do so with our mind on thee through thy Son, that we can dedicate our actions, thoughts, and deeds to you. We would ask, O Lord, on this beautiful day, that you would bless others that are less fortunate, the needy, those that have trials, those that are afraid, those that are isolated, those that are weak. We would think especially of our brother Jack Martin, who is going to have surgery and that has asked for an interest in our prayers. We would also ask that you would be with our loved ones and the rest of the congregation as they are at the theme camp. Bless them in their activities and see them home safely. And go with thy people that have traveled this weekend to other locals to assist them. Again, O Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have before thee and praise your high and holy name in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Was that a surprise? I think I'll develop a kind of a lexicon of different symbols for different things that we use so that we can chart the things. That was the beauty of it to me, but... Yeah. Switch it.